This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
We bring hope to foreign lands that hate mongers can't kill. Take 2 minutes.
And the song you just heard was A Pentance of Time by Terry Kelly.
Think about why you listen to KPFT and the stories you've heard. You listen because you hear stories you don't hear, can't hear anywhere else. It's as simple as that. There's no other news source that's even structured or set up quite like public radio. You certainly won't find it on TV or commercial radio. And it's not just an hour a week or once or twice a day. It's every day. There are some who have their radio on all day, some who listen in the morning, or some only in the car. Suddenly, your membership must sound like quite a deal when you look at what you get. In fact, you might even be thinking that you haven't been giving enough and it's time to increase your gift. But the important thing is to give. Call 713-526-KPFT or join online at kpft.org. This is KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbian, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Valenska.
And Jennifer Renee.
Brian Levinka.
And Glenn Holt. And tonight we have something a little different for you, a roundtable discussion on the future of the Houston GLBT community by young activists. And then at 10 o'clock, it's News Wrap from This Way Out with the latest GLBT news, including the latest on the status of gay marriage in various states of the Union, followed by local radio personality and journalist Susie Locks, who will delve into internet dating with its happiness and tragedy. And speaking of the internet, take a look at Queer Voices' online presence through queervoices.org and follow links from there to Queer Voices' Facebook page and Twitter sites. During the show each week, we post information about our guests and our music playlist on Twitter. And now, during Pledge Drive, we will also tweet pledges so that you can track our progress there as well.
How tweeterific. Yes, we are asking you to pick up the phone and call us tonight at 526-5738. Of course, 713 is the area code. Remember in the old days, Montrose was all 5-2 numbers. You know,
that's
of course,
right.
It's all, with cell phones, that's all gone out
now,
the window.
Now, what was the exchange, you know, like 5 meant something?
It was Jackson.
Jackson. So it would be like Jackson
and,
2.
And the original one was 523. So if you have a 523 number, like Ray Hill does, you were like one of the first people.
You were old school Montrose.
Yes. You
old
sort of
school number,
you
and
there
you kept
when you cranked the phone. But we're getting off the subject
you,
here.
You call the opera and says, "Give me Harold."
I remember those days.
Oh,
I
God.
Remember those days. So we're asking you to call us and pledge to KPFT. Our goal this evening is $1,000, which is not very high. We have operators standing by. We have a really exciting show that we want to get into real shortly because, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have young activists on and them giving sort of their reflection of the community, where it's going, how we failed them, which we did in many ways.
I wouldn't call it failing.
Well,
I mean, we've progressed to this point.
But we want to get much further.
Yes, we were incrementalism. See, we were just part of that.
We were a stepping stone.
That's right.
So we have a few announcements we want to go over now that we have a few minutes to do so.
Well, of course, this weekend is the HRC Gala at the Hilton Americas downtown. That's on Saturday, May 16th from 6 to 10 p.m.
Are there tickets available?
There are tickets available on hrchouston.org.
Oh, good.
And if you are so inclined, you can go sit at my table. I still have a couple of seats.
You do?
I do.
Is it a good table?
It's a premium table.
Okay, call in for Brian. And
the HRC brass is breathing down my neck, so I have to sell them. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, maybe in the next segment when we talk about internet dating, maybe we can get some.
Yeah,
get
a date. Oh, you have a partner, though.
I do, yes.
Well,
and he
okay.
should be calling in here shortly, right,
Oh,
Davey?
Okay. Well, you know,
call in
I don't.
Play. I'm coercing him to call in and pledge.
I don't. You can call in if you want to go to HRC with me.
Also, the Pride Idol is having their finals this Saturday as well at the House of Blues at 6 o'clock. So you can go out.
Oh, that's a great place, by the way.
I haven't been there.
Oh, you've got to go. Got to go.
I'm waiting for like some big gay singer to come, like Erasure or something. That would be good.
Well, the fun ones are in the audience.
I see.
One announcement that J.D. has asked for us to do is the Pansy Division founder, John Glinoli, G-I-N-O-L-I.
I would go Ganoli.
Ganoli will be reading at Borders in Maryland Plaza this Thursday at 6 p.m. And he's promoting a new book, Deflowered, My Life in the Pansy Division. Boy, that sounds really interesting. And the band has a new film out, documentary, and we're going to be playing a song shortly. I got to see Cokie Roberts this week.
How was that?
She was fabulous.
That was during the day.
Yes, it was during the day, Tuesday morning. And I got to ask the last question, which was really neat because it was packed. There was about 500 women and 7 men.
And what was your last question?
Oh, I asked her about the pioneering days of women at National Public Radio, and she answered it very well. You know, her father was a congressman from New Orleans and died in a plane crash, and her mother took over. And then during the Clinton administration, she was the ambassador to the Vatican.
I didn't know that.
Yes, very, very. Her mother's still alive. Very interesting. And her book that's been out 10 years is about stories about mothers and their daughters. Fascinating. I mean, I always respected her, but she just gave a great, great speech. So let's just one more time remind people that you can call up now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Make that pledge. Let's keep Queer Voices a strong contender here on KPFT Radio. And we got a piece of music from the Pansy Division.
Okay, so that was the appropriately titled Absurd Pop Song Romance from Pansy Division. Love, Love, Love. It was from 1998. And the purpose of playing that is by way of reminding you that John Ginoli will be promoting his new book, Deflowered, My Life in Pansy Division, and that's going to be at Maryland Plaza on Thursday, May 14th at 6 p.m. This is Queer Voices.
Well, we're doing something a little bit different, as we said before. We're going to talk to the younger generation and about their involvement and what their perceptions of the community is. And why don't you all introduce yourself to our audience?
Okay. My name is Melanie Pang, and I'm the former president of Global, which is one of the GLBT organizations at the University of Houston.
Hi, my name is Umbalika Williams, and I am the current president and founder of Out Students and Allies, and it's HCC's first LGBT organization.
Hi, I'm Stacey Colt Meyer. I'm heavily involved with the transgender community, mostly with STAG, which is Some Transgenders Are Guy, the local F2M group.
Great. Well, let me ask you, are you all out to your family? Sort of, maybe, partially?
Well, I'm actually out to my mother, and that's a wonderful experience considering she's Filipino, raised Catholic, and I was out to the greater Houston area before I was out to her.
I know that, yes, I understand.
Where does your mom live?
She actually lives in Stafford right now.
Okay.
And is unable to listen to the radio show right now because my dad doesn't know, but my siblings know, so.
Linda?
Well, I'm actually out to most of my siblings. My dad and all my sisters know, and probably my 3-year-old brother, if he's noticed all the rainbow stuff, he'd probably pick up on that too. But my mom doesn't know, and that's a work in progress. So we'll
okay.
see what happens with that.
And you're both persons of color, so there's probably an added layer there.
Oh, definitely. I'm part Indian, and my dad's black, and my mom is a very traditional Indian lady, and so I guess that's part of the problems why I haven't come out to her yet.
How Houston, you know, that's so neat.
Well, after coming out as a lesbian, I came out as transgender, and all of my family members who have seen me obviously know that I'm transgender because I now pass as male when I used to look like a female. My father actually drafted a letter and sent it to all family members and everyone he sent like Christmas letters to. So everyone pretty much knows, I think, except his mother, and I haven't seen her in the past like 2 years.
Well, that's definitely progress over at least my generation, because it took me a long time and a lot of us. And, of course, everybody is different, but it took us a long time. And that's the first step of really, you know, how could you be an activist if you're, you know, hiding that? It's easier when you're living away from your parents, you know, like 1,000 miles or whatever. What is your perception of the community? What do you feel about, you know, has there been progress made, do you think? Did we not, you know, should we have made more progress? And I know that's a very general question.
Well, yeah, it is a very general question. But I think considering the movement regarding LGBT rights, I think that we've progressed massively. The community was probably a lot different 10 years from now, and let's not even think 20 years from now. I've heard a lot of stories from people from the older generation talking about how they lived in fear every minute of their lives being out. I know that when I came out, I wasn't scared of someone shooting me in the street, like yelling out dyke or something like that. So, I mean, that's big progress right there. Compared to other movements, I know it took how long? For black people to, you know, be able to be treated like decent human beings. There's still work that needs to be done, but considering the little time that we've had, I like to give a big round of applause to our, you know, seniors. So thanks, love it. Thank you.
What is the environment in colleges and high schools these days?
I mean, and especially since you go to schools that are more or less considered commuter schools, rather than, you know, people, you know, living on campus and staying there for, you know, 4 years.
Well, coming from the U of H perspective, it seems like we have to do things really big in order to actually gauge the temperature of whether or not students are, you know, against GLBT people or not. There's actually a group that comes on our campus, Soul Winners Ministries. I don't know if y'all have heard of them. Essentially, they're Bible thumping crazies. Organization crazies, yes, however you want to put it. They come on campus and basically condone everyone who's not Christian, or condemn, excuse me. And so whenever that happens, everyone on campus tends to bond together and, like, I don't know how
yell at them.
Yeah, and yell at them.
It's good to have a common enemy.
Right, and show that, exactly, you know, that they're not welcome here to be hateful. But at the same time, when we had our, like, commitment ceremonies on campus, there wasn't really much of a reaction to that either. So I think that there's either a general feeling of apathy, of, like, I don't care what you do in your own private life, or there's just, like, a, okay, don't be radical.
Well, and I just missed out the radical 60s, unfortunately. It's a little bit too old for that, or too young for that. It was real interesting. Is there a lot of activism general on campus?
Coming from HCC Central, the problem that we face is that since it's a two-year college and mostly all of the students work and then they go to school and that's it. And I started out Students and Allies, and one of our biggest issues that we have right now is building membership and getting people to show up to the meetings. The unique thing about Central, since we're locating in downtown, we have our students are so diverse, and there's so people from all sorts of backgrounds, and we have a large queer population at HCC. You walk around and it's kind of like the joke, like, we are the queer school here in Houston. And for whatever reason, it just seems like we're not able to have, you know, 30 people showing up to our meetings. There seems to be this general apathy. And when it comes to activism, like, I'm always out doing stuff. I'm a member, an active member of the Houston Stonewall Young Democrats, and I've tried so hard to get my members to come with me to the meetings, to do other stuff outside the community, and it's just like, yeah, I am queer, and that's great, and yeah, and that's about it.
Do you think it's part of a comfort zone that you don't, that a lot of people feel, why do I need to do anything? You know, we're not being people, we don't have discrimination, we don't feel the discrimination. Although in reality, we don't have any type of law in the city or the state protecting GLBT people.
Actually, you know, it's really interesting. Like I just said previously, I'm an active member of the Stonewalls, and we had a convention in Austin, and we were talking to the members of the Stonewall group in Austin, and they were having problems with membership. Actually, the Houston and Dallas have, like, the most active, you know, Stonewall Democrats groups, but Austin doesn't. And we were like, why is that, you know? And they're like, well, because Austin is a liberal city and everyone's complacent and they're all fine with how things are, and so they don't feel the need to go out and be active in the community. I know at HCC that's the case, but it kind of makes me a little upset because we all still face discrimination. We all still have issues that we go through. I mean, I haven't came out to every member of my family. Until we reach that point, there's still work that needs to be done.
I think also U of H students, from what I can tell, would much rather go to a global meeting to relax and meet other people, and the social aspect is totally there. But then you ask them to go out in the streets and, you know, do something for their cause, and they're just kind of like, I'm going clubbing tonight, and, you know, so there's not that general rush to, like, oh, you know, this is a part of who I am and I should really stand up for it. It's kind of like, this is a part of who I am and I want to meet other people who have that same, you know, share that same common ground and just make friends of it. And that's fine, but...
What do you see as the biggest challenges for the GLBT community in the next maybe 5-10 years?
I think unity, especially with the transgender community and what happened with the whole NDEV problem. I know we're really working on, you know, being really inclusive. I think just I've learned from my participation with Rice's Q&A, which is their queer student organized group, and now I attend Global, that the student movements are really working hard to include the T, to do more drag shows, to do more top surgery fundraisers, or just involve themselves with the transgender community. And I don't see that same activism from the adult queer population, and I don't know if it's a lack of information.
Do you think you're very accepting, and maybe this is not a fair question, but and you can throw it out if you'd like to, but by the GLB community in general is more accepting of the T community I know certainly we had a struggle in the early days in Houston, and I think, you know, we've moved ahead of a lot of other cities, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
Do you mean, like, versus...
Well, what
I've only been
feeling?
In the community for 3 years.
Okay.
So I don't know how I can answer that. But I do know the whole INDA conflict really made me feel like that any progress we'd made, we'd take a little step back from that. But I know that the younger generation seems like they're working to be more and more inclusive.
Okay. And it's really interesting because Houston really stood up to have the transgendered community inclusive. It was really HRC that was the
right.
offending organization.
HRC.
God bless them.
Not Houston, but HRC National.
National, yeah.
Yes. Yes. What type you says that mostly the groups in Houston are looking to do socialization, but what are some of the other projects that you're trying to do besides politics? Is politics probably the strongest thing that the organization tries to work for to make people aware?
No, actually, I'm just a very political person, so I can go up and talk about all kinds of stuff. But really, my main reason why I even started Out Students and Allies is I wanted to have a social support group for students. And so I guess a large aspect of it really is just to educate the student body. And also, the reason why I came out of the closet is because I've met people who were going through the same struggles as me, and then eventually it helped me figure out all this jumble that was going on in my head. And so I came out of the closet, and I felt the social need because people were there for me. I wanted to be there for them, you know? So that was a big aspect about... I'm not necessarily saying I want to push everyone out of the closet, but just to be there, you know, if they, you know, need someone to talk to and to vent to about this stuff, we're right here, and they all have my number, so, yeah.
What is your generation's, or the community, or the campus's feeling on gay marriage? What's the feeling out there, the barometer, I guess?
I wrote a few articles for the Daily Cougar, and there was a flurry of comments after them. Some people saying, like, why marriage at all? Why do we have, you know, why doesn't everyone get these civil unions or, you know, some kind of other way about it? Or other people would just be like, gay marriage is bad because gay people are bad. So after you filter out that nonsense, it's really hard to really tell what students are thinking about gay marriage. I think there's still that apathy of like, well, whatever, you just do whatever you've got to do, and like, okay, they're married, okay, they're not married, you know, and it's frustrating. Part of why I like Global is because I can share my, you know, GLBT self with them, but also I have a lot of straight friends, and I think educating them about GLBT culture, or however you want to put it, has really opened my mind a lot too. And I hope that every person that I've met, I've impacted in some way in regards to, you know, them actually realizing how universal GLBT rights is. It's not just GLBT rights; it's human rights. It's, you know, things that apply to everyone. So,
you know, it's interesting. Houston has, you know, the ghetto of the Montrose. And it was...
I've never thought of it as a ghetto. Well, it's so much more fun.
Yeah.
It actually could change a little.
Well, but here's the question, though. I mean, you know, there's Dallas is Oaklawn, and there's Castro in San Francisco.
Chelsea.
We seem to feel, you know, that it is less so now. And do you all feel that, you know, you need to sort of concentrate in going into the clubs just in the Montrose, or that you have your GLBT friends and you do socializing outside the Montrose?
Do people still go out these days?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've actually thought about that. I've read articles about the straight storming on to Montrose. You know, I know that South Beach, almost every girl there is probably a fag hag, excuse the term. But and then you've got, you know, Blur, which there are a lot of straight girls there too. And I think there's a certain comfort in knowing that you go to a club and you won't be bothered by men. And there's that, like, safety net there. But as far as going out to straight clubs, there's a difference there because you don't know whether or not it's okay what you're doing. You know, like if you're dancing with your girlfriend, you'll get, you know, the guys are like, oh, that's hot, or, you know, go back to your ghetto, you know. Whereas, like, if you were a straight couple in the Montrose area, you may get the same reaction. I can only speak from my own experience, but as far as I can tell, nobody I've seen has been through that.
And what about the young transgender people? Where do they go? Or do they go out?
Oh, that's a great question. We usually go, goodness, since I'm in graduate school, it's really hard to go anywhere. But South Beach is really good. Haven't had any problems there. I like to go to Club Eden out in Dickinson.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think it's cool that, like, that's spread out there because it's, you know, it's a very, very gay club. And we've had Top Surgery fundraisers out there for trans people, and they've been awesome.
Out in Clear Lake?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience. Great people out there. I really like getting out there, and chances, you know, we'll go in there. The only problem is sometimes, like, if I try to go there alone, you could get, unless you're with females, you might not get access in there, so it's kind of hard to be like, well, I'm trans, can I come in?
Yeah, I wouldn't, I mean, you pass. I mean, I couldn't. You pass. I mean, for me.
Well, thank you. That's the goal.
It's also kind of interesting how there's a known gay strip of clubs.
Yeah.
Like JR's is a bar that has gay men, and then you've got South Beach, predominantly gay men. Blur used to be supposedly lesbian, if I'm not mistaken, and then it's kind of become gay and lesbian, and now every Saturday night I am surrounded by big sweaty boys. I don't know what happened there, but I feel like
crowd.
Yeah, and I feel like Chances is sort of the only lesbian, like, designated lesbian bar,
you know. And that's really a whole other subject that we could go into.
Sorry.
I definitely want to hear that, but in most cities there's usually one or zero lesbian clubs anymore.
And why do you think that is?
Well, part of that is because lesbians probably don't go out as much, or they don't spend.
Is it because they nest?
Oh, wow.
Hey, I want to be a lesbian.
Tell you how
one
much
day.
I nest.
Gay men are all about the prowl and going out and, you know, finding
the catch.
But that's even changing, too, about a lot of men, because now many men and their partners have kids. So they don't go out quite as much.
So male nesting.
We call that gabies.
Yes.
Oh, that's cute.
They go out
that's
with their gabies.
So cute.
We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back. We're doing sort of a roundtable discussion about the younger generation's perception of the community. But right now, we're going to ask you to pick up the phone and call us. Let's go out to the lobby and see how we're doing out there, if the phones are ringing, or if we have to go out there and make those phones ring.
I don't hear no rings.
Let's check to see what's going on out in our lobby here at KPFT. Lobby, are you out there?
Yeah, don't forget that they're 8 seconds behind us.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They are 8 seconds behind us because it's sort of a time warp here in the Montrose. Yes.
I'm looking there right now in sort of quasi-real time.
Well, maybe they're all sleeping there because the phones aren't ringing. But
actually, there is one person to thank, but I don't know who it is yet.
Well, we need to have a lot more people to thank, and you can call us now at 713-526-5738. Each week, Queer Voices is on for 2 hours, and we do a range of local issues, which we really try to concentrate. We also have the wonderful resources of This Way Out, which is done in Los Angeles on our sister station, KPFK. Although it's not part of that, it's sort of just a collective of people who put that together, and we get that show fresh on Monday every week, so that sort of covers the international issues. JD does our music, and JD Doyle probably has the largest collection of queer music in the world, and once a month he does the Queer Music Heritage Show, which will be coming up in 2 weeks, and you can check out his website, queermusicheritage.com, and see the resources he has there and how important the music has been in the past and continues to be. So we're asking you to call us at 713-526-573 713-526-KPFT. You know, we do not have a weekly newspaper here in Houston anymore. We do not have a television show here in Houston, but radio was really, and we're very, very lucky to have the resources here of Pacifica Radio. Pacifica Radio has been carrying some form of GLBT programming since 1975, and that's just 5 years short of it being on the air. We're celebrating our 39th anniversary here at KPFT. Very, very important resources, and it just happens that the studios are located in the heart of Montrose. In fact, it used to be called Radio Row because there was four other radio stations here in the neighborhood, but they've all gone out and been absorbed by some big, big companies. But Pacifica is still a very independent station, and we rely on you. Glenn, do we have some people to thank?
Yes, we certainly do. People who are contributing to the radio station, just like you people at home, are going to contribute, I suppose.
Hopefully.
David Tyson is one of them.
That's David Tyson.
Oh, okay. You never know with the...
Yeah, it's a weird spelling.
And we also have Anonymous, and Anonymous is always generous.
We love that. I mean,
that's right.
He's got big pockets, I think.
He or she.
Anonymous is generous to us each time.
So we need some more?
Yes, and you can also contribute by going to kpft.org. You also, if this is not a convenient time for you to catch our show, we're available on iTunes, or you go to our website, queervoices.org, and there's also a KPFT archive section where you can download the show. So Queer Voices is very easy to get. You can listen to it at your leisure. Certainly we're always interested in your feedback, and you can do that on our Twitter page. Send us a tweet, as it's so called. We're asking you to help contribute to keep this type of radio station going, because it's not only Queer Voices. There are so many other wonderful programs here on KPFT, including Democracy Now!, which is on nationally on Pacifica, and many other stations besides the Pacifica stations. But, you know, we really try to do a local show. We really try to cover the local issues because nobody else is out there doing it. Certainly we have Outsmart, which covers some issues on a monthly basis, but to be able to cover things that are going on this week and next week, and be able to talk about some of the groups that are involved here in the community and the wonderful work that they do, the nonprofits, the social groups, the arts groups, and we're really lucky to have a diverse number of different organizations that do that, and we get help get the word out, because it's not very easy to do that.
And you know what Glenn always says?
What does Glenn always say?
There's those of us who participate on this side of the microphone in doing the show, and then there are those of you who participate by listening and calling in your pledge to support the show.
And a pledge is really a vote. You're voting for gay radio in Houston and keeping up with the latest events and issues that face our community. Because, as Jack said, there is no weekly newspaper anymore. There's no TV, and as far as I know, there's not like a web, a vlog or a blog about weekly goings on. And we are kind of the only game in town, so keep us going.
And certainly we know there are some organizations in the community that are struggling, and we help try to get the word out so that people can get involved in it. And there's always new organizations coming out that are doing different things. In fact, next week we're going to sort of talk about the history of the community.
So it's kind of a bookend. We have the next generation of GLBT, and then next week is kind of the history of the GLBT. Interesting.
So, pick up the phone, call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
And if you don't want to call in, you can go to the website. There's a little button that says Donate Now, and you can use your credit card easily. I know some people don't like to call in. Some people just like the convenience of that.
And I would like to thank another caller, Jim Flanagan.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Yeah, Jim called in a very generous pledge, actually.
Well, Jim, that's a big, big thank you, then.
Yes.
From the Queer Voices team.
Yes, and our goal tonight is $1,000, which is not very high for 2 hours of original programming that we do every week. So let's get back to our interview. And what are some of the issues that maybe we haven't brought up that you'd like to talk about? You're involved in journalism, right? You're a journalism?
I am a journalism major, yes.
Okay. And that's sort of got to be a little bit scary right now, huh?
It's very scary. thinking that, you know, print journalism will be obsolete in the next few years is a bit scary to think about.
Is that what you're hearing in journalism school? Or is that kind of your feeling?
That's my feeling, and what I've been hearing is kind of why I feel this way. It's because they're like, be as well-rounded as you possibly can. Take as many internet computer courses you can, you know.
That's
blog.
A red flag, so
yeah.
start preparing. Yeah.
But it's also scary to think that journalism's going that route, that people will rely on blogs for news. That's opinion. That is strictly opinion, and that's terrifying. So,
right, the resources of actually doing the hardcore reporting. And certainly I'm a news junkie, and seeing what's been happening in the past couple of years, I mean, I still get the newspaper and it keeps getting thinner and thinner and thinner.
Right. And they're combining sections now, like the city and state and business are one now.
Right, so there's less and less original, you know, reporting done. So it's a real scary thought.
Right, and I'm glad to see that Outsmart is still surviving. Yeah.
Outsmart is a wonderful magazine. It doesn't really do news. It does more or less comprehensive pieces, and you know, which is great. I mean, you know, we're very lucky to have that. But unlike so many other cities, like Dallas and Atlanta, and I know some of those papers are struggling too, but they're still around. So how do you know what's going on in the community?
Emails. Floods and floods of emails.
Facebook.
Yep.
Facebook statuses.
That's Facebook. That's my life right there.
My whole life is just to update my status. And come up with witty little status updates.
Right. With the new like feature. That
yeah, see how many thumbs ups you get.
You know exactly how popular you are. No. But Facebook actually has become a blessing and a curse. It is kind of the black hole of productivity. You know, and but it's been very helpful in reaching out to people. I like how now people can come out on Facebook. That's a very strange concept, that with the click of a button, suddenly everyone knows your business and, like, you know, can label you, if you will. But it's actually been very helpful in reaching out to people. I know a lot of people who have messaged me personally asking me certain questions about the gay community that they wouldn't have done otherwise. Mm-hmm. I doubt people would have, like, looked up my email address to really find that.
I credit Facebook with kind of organizing the protest on Prop 8 back in the fall, back in November. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was amazing. In a week, we had like 1,000 people in front of City Hall.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we actually had some global members out there, too. So that's kind of how I've streamlined our communication, either through Gmail, or I'm sorry, not Gmail, but through email or through Facebook or both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the same with the transgender community. We're really, really connected with transhouston.com. That's kept up really well. There's a live chat feature there. Stag has its own site right off of that, stag.transhouston.com. We have a Yahoo Groups email where we send out everything. One of my co-facilitators, Lou, has about 30 to 40 F2Ms on his text messaging, and so he just sends out texts, let them know when the meetings are, what's going on, what events we're going to. So I think we're really connected by these modern technology features.
Mm-hmm. One of the issues that I'm in my 30s, that my generation had was HIV/AIDS. What is the current feeling or thoughts about HIV/AIDS in, I guess, the younger generation?
What's really interesting is that I don't really know anybody currently living with HIV/AIDS, or nor have I known anybody who passed away from HIV/AIDS. And so I think that's like a big issue. Also, amongst people I know, it's not seen as the, you know, the gay disease, you know? So that's one thing that when I was going back and looking at history and stuff like that, and then when I first learned that, you know, HIV/AIDS, that wasn't the original name, I kind of was a little shocked by that. I'm like, whoa, that's kind of harsh. So I don't know. It's really interesting. I think it's kind of hard to pinpoint really much of a big issue other than, you know, don't ask, don't tell, and gay marriage.
Yeah, and I'm surprised, but not really, because I kind of feel that, you know, HIV and AIDS has become a manageable disease, and you know, just live with this but not die from this thing. And so I'm kind of not surprised to hear this from you, but
that's very Rent of you.
Oh, don't get me started on Rent.
And like, that was just intense.
In the transgender community, I think it's 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 people are affected by HIV and AIDS. I only know 2 have come out. It's like coming out, you know, to me with that information. And then I know one person in the gay community, but they don't really talk about it because they're able to manage it. And so it's like, quote unquote, not a big deal.
Well, it's not a death sentence anymore. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, you didn't have an option. You pretty much...
You were gone.
There's a whole segment of the community that's gone. Like in the 40s, late 40s and 50s, that are just obliterated. So,
you know, one of the defining films of the recent history was Milk. And did you all get to see it and see... what it was like back in, you know, certainly even before my time, believe it or not. you know, what's neat is that Ray Hill, who's an icon in this city, knew Harvey Milk, and a good friend of mine, Ed Barnes, also, he actually rode the, Ed Barnes used to live in San Francisco, and used to ride the bus to work with Harvey Milk, strangely enough. what is your reaction to the Milk film?
Oh, I think it's really hard to capsulize that entire movement in so many hours. I mean, I don't know that I would watch a five-hour film, but if they were to make one, I think that would be pretty incredible and would do it better justice. I think trying to summarize that entire thing and still keep the gravity of the whole situation in it, I think they did a good job. What they could do.
I cried like a baby at the end of the movie. It was kind of embarrassing. And, you know, it's really interesting, mentioning Harvey Milk. A lot of people in our generation don't know our history. And what scares me is this almost, I'm scared that it will be forgotten. For me, I had to personally make an effort to go and research this because obviously you're not going to learn this in high school. You know, it's like queers didn't exist in America in U.S. history. So it was like when I was telling all my friends about it when they were making the film and when it was about to go out in motion picture, everyone was like, "So who's Harvey Milk? Name sounds familiar." I'm like, "You guys, he's the reason why we're all out, you know? He's the reason why I'm here. It's the reason why we have out students and allies." So it's pretty interesting how that happened.
Well, there's actually a documentary, too, that won an Academy Award about the times of Harvey Milk, which is... And speaking about that, what is your feeling about Pride? Do we still need it?
Oh, good question.
Pride, oh, yeah.
Like, the specifically...
The parade, the movement, the gathering. What is the feeling?
I definitely think we still need Pride, and I guess it's because maybe I'm still a newbie and I've only been to three Prides or whatever, but maybe it's like an excitement, but I think it's great when everybody gets together and you just look down the street on both ways and you're like, look at all the gay people, you know? I think it's just a great feeling and it reminds us of where we came from, our history. I think, you know, even over 3 years, I've seen Pride changing a lot. And
in which way?
To be more kid-friendly. And I, you know, I grew up in Beaumont, Texas, you know, a small Catholic girl school, you know, and I was just, you know, you hear about like gay people and they're just walking down naked or everyone has leather on, or, you know, and I came to Pride and it was like, I got like one condom and I was like, that's it, you know, like, where is everything?
Where is everything?
So, but you know, I don't mind that direction that it's going. I still like the camaraderie and the feeling of everybody coming out on one day together. I like that.
Do you still think it's necessary that we have Pride? I mean, do we need to continue doing this for the next 30 years or do you think it might go away eventually?
I never thought it would go away.
Yeah, I had never thought.
That'd be weird.
That would
no
be
Pride.
I actually went to San Francisco Pride last year with my girlfriend, and it was a really cool feeling to feel a part of the majority. And that's not to say that we should be the majority. I'm not saying, like, down with all
take over the world.
It's completely different, and being the founder of Pride Houston here in Houston, it is... Pride in Houston is very different than San Francisco or
right.
Boston.
Right.
You know, it's the Houston event is much more of a family. We want to show off to the entire city that we're like everybody else. In San Francisco, it's like, you deal with us.
Yeah. We're here and we're queer. Period.
And their parade goes on for like 4 hours.
Wow.
It used to go on
probably
for
days.
4 days.
Nice. Every day in San Francisco is a parade.
That's true.
Fabulous.
I know the day before there's a dyke march,
yes.
And that's probably
that would be
one of my
amazing.
Favorite parts.
Where are the dykes on bikes?
That would be
I have
awesome.
Only heard stories of these dykes on bikes. Yeah. I would love to see them this year.
We've had them in our parade.
Yes, yeah. But it's been tough to do that. I mean, you know, in Houston, it's more or less you want to fit in. You want to look like everybody else for the most part without, you know, saying you can't be in because of this. But in some of the other cities, in Houston, it's more of a parade, where in San Francisco and Boston, it's a march.
Mm-hmm. Here it's more organizations, and, you know, this is our group, and yay.
There's free stuff.
Right.
So where do you think we're going to go? Do you think that the community is, you know, after we sort of win some of these battles and, you know, gay marriage, that we're not going to need a movement anymore? Are we going to, are we just going to assimilate into the general community?
I sure hope not.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually a little scared about that, you know? I feel like as we become in more, I guess, quote-unquote, normalized, that there's going to be less of a need for us to be collected and to be together. And I think proof of that is the amount of apathy that our generation has. I know currently right now I'm living all the way in Cypress, Texas, and I used to be active with the GLBT A group at Cypher College, and I know, for example, like, everyone there, we're all queer, but no one really cares, and it just kind of seems like we don't feel this need to be all friends, or we don't feel this need to gather up together. And I also noticed that based on what people have told me, I don't know how true this is, but even our district here, Montrose, more and more queers are, like, moving out of the area, and it's becoming less and less of a concentration of queers here in Houston.
I think we're experiencing an economic kind of flight, because it's becoming more and more expensive to live in the Montrose.
Yeah. I mean, good gentrification.
And I know a lot of people that have moved out to the Garden Oaks, the Timber Groves, the, you know, out in Westbury.
Pearland.
I mean, just everywhere. And I think that's a sign of our society maybe becoming more accepting. Also economic. Last week we had a new group that's forming in the northwest corner of the Loop. It's a gay lesbian group. And, you know, it's just a sign of the times that we're kind of spreading out outside the traditional Loop area.
But I don't think we're going to disappear, because I think we have a culture. You know, we have a queer culture. And even if we're not as active in doing pride things, and if we get all equal rights and we don't have to do as many protests, I still think there's a queer culture. We all share the phenomenon of coming out and being maybe disbanded, you know, from different groups or our families.
I think that's my challenge to the younger generation, is to keep the community going. Not only attend your events, but attend other events, if possible. You know, keep the sense of community going, even though there may not be a geographic similarity to people living together. I mean, they're spread out, but attend other events and keep the community strong.
We definitely will.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a uniqueness within our community, and that's what binds us together. And I hope, you know, it's really what I'm trying to do, that we stick together like a glue. I mean, there's other communities that do it well. I mean, the Black community, you know, Latinos, and there's subgroups within that, so.
It's interesting that you mentioned, like, that there isn't a want to band together in Cypher or whatever. I was talking to someone about this, like, in California. Well, first of all, people from different cities, I have this theory, that people from different cities are just naturally different, just because of where they live and the way that they, you know, are. So, in California.
That's really interesting, because as much as this country is so McDonaldization, and, you know, the freeway is sort of, you know, made us sort of all the same, there still is some individuality in every city.
Right.
Exactly.
And I think in Houston there is that camaraderie of, like, oh my gosh, you're gay too? Okay, cool. You know, like, let's be Facebook friends immediately.
I've always seen Houston as kind of a pale blue dot in a big red sea. You know, we're kind of the hippie kind of bohemian area. Within the state of Texas.
Yes.
But at least in this part of Texas.
Yes. But even still, we like our legislation. We like our formalities. You know, I think that we aren't as much rebel-rousers as we would maybe like to be. We know that there are formal processes in Texas, and that there's a way of trying to implement things. And instead of being in your face, riding in the streets, we're kind of the, let's push this along, let's, you know, get this bill passed and this passed. And
well, and that's a definitely interesting observation, because, yes, Houston is not a protest city.
Right.
Nope. Yes, we had a pretty big protest here in 1992 during the Republican convention, but that was mostly because it was people outside of Houston that came in to do that. And there were some protests around the time of AIDS, but pretty much we didn't do that, partly because of the heat, partly because everywhere you go in Houston, you got to go by car.
Right,
You know, you can't just jump in a subway and be at a protest area. Like, we've had some protests, certainly, but it's not generally like that. As you move out of college and into the career path, do you think you're going to be able to be open at your place of work?
My sister and I had this debate. I was typing up a resume, and I sent it over to her to proofread. And she was like, so this global thing, I don't know if you... you may want to make two resumes. And, you know, I was listening to her, and I was like, yeah, that totally makes sense, you know, two resumes. And then I got off the phone with her, and I was just like, wait, I don't want to work at a place where I wouldn't be accepted for who I am.
Oh, that's good.
So... that second resume kind of never happened. Sorry, Lisa. But, yeah, I wouldn't ever want to apply somewhere where I knew that I could be potentially fired for being who I am. So that will always be a strong part of my resume, my GLUT involvement.
Well, I know when I came out to my dad, that was one of his biggest concerns. He kind of had hopes that I would get involved in politics and run for public office. I'm like, heck no, don't want that job. But actually, you know, yeah, that is sort of a fear sometimes because I normally in my resume I put like all the things I've done, and ALSA would be one of those things. And I was, you know, to be honest, like with my retail jobs, I don't put it. And I'm a little concerned about that, at least for right now, because I have no choice but get a job at Macy's or something like that, even though they're pretty queer friendly.
There's a lot of queers at Macy's.
Yes, they are.
We're among you.
Well, actually, you know, when it comes to politics, I'm actually not as afraid. If I wanted to run for public office, that would get in the way. Anise Parker, our city comptroller,
yes.
is out lesbian.
She's our next mayor.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is. We've also, Noel Freeman, he's running for a city at large position. He's, you know, out. Maverick Welch, District 8, she's out. And even then, let's think about it, visibility on TV, like Rachel Maddow, awesome. She's out, and that hasn't harmed her career. We have Ellen DeGeneres, that hasn't harmed her career. At least for when she first came out, but now she's
yeah.
Out.
It's an interesting thing how she, you know, she went from her comedy show and now she's doing a talk show, and she's just totally accepted. You know,
well, I think society has changed since the '90s. I mean, a lot has happened in the last 5-10 years, so that she can be have her own talk show.
But also the great thing about Ellen is that she's very universal with her stuff. She doesn't just do gay jokes.
And it's not preachy gay, like I'm a lesbian every day.
Yes. What are those everyday lesbians? Listen.
She's hilarious.
And everyday lesbian.
With me, you know, I think it would be really easy for me to go what they call stealth. If, you know, just find a little wife and just start a little straight-looking family. But that's not who I am. You know, and especially with my research career, and I want to do career in psychology, my research is, the thesis and dissertation are both focused on the female-to-male transsexual population. And when you write your CV, your topics go right at the very top. So I don't ever plan on hiding that part of me.
That's great. Okay. We need to wrap this up now, but is there a way for people to contact you all if they'd like to get some more information about your organizations or your involvement in the community?
Absolutely. Global's website is uh.edu/global. Some people think we're an environmental group. We're not.
It's a different type of environment.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Nice. I like that. That might be our new T-shirt. and our email address is queercoogs, C-O-O-G-S, @gmail.com.
Okay. For our students and allies, we have a Facebook page, so look us up on Facebook. We have an email, outstudentandallies. I forgot to put the S for students. So singular student.
There's one.
There's just one.
Only one.
Yeah. And just to clarify real fast, Cypress is pretty, you know, for the most part, pretty queer friendly, and Macy's is awesome, so yeah.
Nice.
Didn't mean to disappear.
Nice plug.
There we go. And you can contact Colt at ftmresearch@gmail.com. You can look at my transition webpage at www.stacymeier.com. That's STACEYMEIER.com.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We want to remind you that KPFT is in the midst of pledging, that we're asking you to donate money to KPFT and Pacifica Radio here in Houston, a very unique thing that they actually allow people like us to come on the radio and do radio shows and talk to people locally in the community. This is not coming from New York, or it's not coming from Washington or wherever those shows come from on most other stations. You know, most of those other stations are they're not live, or they're coming from somewhere else. We are a local station. We are a resource for Houston. We are a station that tries to bring in people from the community to talk about the issues that actually affect the community. So we're asking you to pick up the phone and call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Glenn, do we have somebody to thank?
Yes, we'd like to thank another active listener named Fernando, who picked up the phone and called in his pledge to support KPFT and Queer Voices.
Well, Fernando, thank you. The Queer Voices, thank you.
And you can also do that at kpft.org and donate, and you can call it some other time. And you don't just have to do it for Queer Voices. You can do it for any the other wonderful radio shows that come on here. You know, there's another queer show called After Hours that's on a Saturday night, Sunday morning. They cover a little bit different issues than we do, but we definitely would like you to become part of this radio station. Less than 10% of our listeners are actually members, and you know, we're not asking for a bailout because the government really has not ever funded us. We get a little bit of government money, but most of our money, I think almost 85 to 90% of the money comes into KPFT comes in from our listeners. We don't take corporate money, which almost nobody does anymore. We are for the people, about the people, and it takes a little bit. I mean, we're all volunteers on the show. It takes money to keep the transmitter going, keep the station a little bit cool. Sometimes the air conditioning works, but we're very proud of what we do, and we're very hopeful that you feel that what we do is worth it. So we're asking you to call us at here at KPFT. It's 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
Thank you very much, and your money goes to a great cause in keeping gay radio on the air in Houston. And if you have any ideas for shows, we're more than welcome to bring those topics on and talk about them. We are for you. We're for the GLBT and straight people. I mean, we have some straight listeners.
We have a lot of straight listeners, yes.
You know, people come up to me in the grocery store, and they're like, oh, I heard your show. And I'm like, I had never met them before. So we kind of, you know, there's a lot of people out there listening. So if you're listening and you like what you hear, please contribute to KPFT. You can go to the website, kpft.org, or you can call in right now. We have operators live, 713-526-5738.
You're listening to KPFT Houston, and we have a few more minutes before the top of the hour. Next week, we're going to be talking a little bit about the history of the community and how there's this archiving project that's going on. And we're also going to talk, what's our other subject next week?
High school issues. I'm going to bring on a friend of mine who is a high school counselor, and she has experience with kids in high school being bullied for being gay. And we have recent national stories where kids have been bullied. So we're going to talk about kind of the climate in high schools and what the counselors are doing these days.
And 2 weeks from today, we are doing Queer Music Heritage. And then in the month of June, we're going to concentrate on a lot of the pride things that are going on, all the different pride events and pride in general. So we're asking you to call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We have operators standing by. There is also some little thank yous. Now, hopefully you're pledging to KPFT because you like what we're going to be doing in programming, but we also do have some nice little things like T-shirts and mugs and stuff like that. And when you call, you can ask about that.
Kind of the swag, I guess.
Yes, the goodies, the KPFT goodies. So we're asking you to call us. Call us now. Don't wait till the last minute. Call us now because sometimes there's that last minute rush. You're listening to KPFT in Houston.
Choices that I've made, I've been burning like a fire in the midst of the rain.
Lonnie Michaels, Living My Life Out Loud, from her 2008 CD, Living My Life Out Loud. Coming up next, News Wrap from This Way Out. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Walensky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm Pam Marshall.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 9, 2009. A Greek court has annulled the country's first known same-gender civil marriages, which were performed on the small Aegean island of Telos last year. Activists have cited a loophole in the Greek marriage laws that don't specify the gender of the partners. The court on the island of Rhodes, which has jurisdiction over the island, ruled this week that Greek law makes no specific provision for same-gender weddings. The ceremonies for one male couple and one female couple were conducted by Telos Mayor Tassos Alifaris, who found himself in hot water for doing so. The marriages drew strong criticism from the country's powerful Orthodox Church, which counts 90% of the population as members. Greece's justice ministry had also condemned the weddings as illegal. The married lesbian couple told reporters this week that the country's finance ministry had nevertheless accepted their joint tax return. The court ruling was not unexpected. The couple's lawyer, who said they'd file an appeal, said the case would likely wind up in the European Court of Human Rights. Gays and lesbians enjoy some legal protections under Greek law, mainly in the areas of employment and housing. But a government-proposed civil unions law last year specifically excluded same-gender couples.
The legal case against the Turkish LGBT group Lambda Istanbul returned to a local court in late April, and the organization was granted permission to continue operating. The same court ordered the group shut down in May 2008, ruling that its objectives violate the country's moral and family values. But Turkey's Supreme Court of Appeal overturned that decision in November and sent the case back to the Third Civil Court of First Instance for a new ruling. Activists remain concerned, however, about one sentence in the Supreme Court decision which says, dissolution of the defendant association could still be demanded if it should act counter to its constitution in the ways of encouraging or provoking gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, and transvestite behavior or acting with the aim of spreading such sexual orientations. Lambda Istanbul issued a statement saying that it will only feel truly safe when the Turkish constitution is amended to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, one of its long-standing goals. The constitutional safeguard is a must, the group said, to hinder any homophobic interpretations of those vague concepts in law.
The group Lesbians, Gays, and Bisexuals of Botswana has sued their government over the nation's ban on consensual adult same-gender sex. The government has already refused to allow the activists to register as an official organization. Uyapo Ndadi, an attorney and legal officer for the Botswana Network of Ethics, Law, and HIV/AIDS, which is supporting the lawsuit, said that the law that criminalizes homosexuality violates the right to privacy and freedom of association. Group members say that the law makes gay and lesbian people criminals in their own country. Botswana's appeals court rejected a challenge to the sodomy law in 2003, arguing that the Southern African country was not ready to accept homosexuality.
Moscow is still not ready. City officials have banned yet another LGBT pride march, this one scheduled for May 16th, which coincides with the Eurovision Song Contest, a wildly popular continent-wide talent competition. The Russian capital is hosting the event this year, which is expected to draw hundreds of thousands of fans from across Europe. It is not a secret that we have a large gay audience, a Eurovision official acknowledged, and we respect everyone's backgrounds. But Sergei Soy, a spokesman for notoriously homophobic Mayor Yuri Lushkov, said of LGBT pride events that not only do they destroy morals within our society, but they consciously provoke disorder, which threatens the lives of Muscovites and visitors. He said that any unsanctioned events would be toughly stopped by law enforcement agencies. LGBT activists did manage to elude police and hold a few well-planned snap public pride events in 2008. Organizer Nikolai Alexeyev promised similar actions this year. He said on his website, gayrussia.ru, that this is our right and it is guaranteed by the Constitution. No official, including the Moscow mayor, has the right to violate it. Moscow Pride has six discrimination cases pending against Mayor Lushkov at the slow-moving European Court of Human Rights for banning the Pride events, and an additional case against Russian President Dmitry Medvedev for refusing to intervene.
Meanwhile, Russian lawmakers rejected a so-called gay propaganda bill this week. The measure would have made it a criminal offense for anyone who openly demonstrated a homosexual way of life and a homosexual orientation to hold jobs in education or in the military. The legislation mandated a sentence of from 2 to 5 years in prison. It needed 226 votes to proceed. Only 90 deputies voted for it.
The move toward marriage equality in the U.S. has gone into high gear. Maine became the fifth U.S. state to open civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples this week, with Democratic Governor John Baldacci's signature on an equality bill less than an hour after it received final passage in the legislature. While he'd publicly favored civil unions in the past, Baldacci said that, I have come to believe that this is a question of fairness and of equal protection under the law, and that a civil union is not equal to civil marriage. Iowa's Supreme Court unanimously ruled in April that the ban on same-gender marriage violated the state constitution, and Vermont lawmakers overrode Republican Governor Jim Douglas's veto soon thereafter to make it the first state to legislate marriage equality. Same-gender couples have been tying the knot in Massachusetts since 2004 and in Connecticut since 2008. The New Hampshire legislature also approved a marriage equality bill this week, but Democratic Governor John Lynch has publicly voiced his reluctance to sign it, saying he favors the state's two-year-old civil unions law. As of this report, he's not signed the marriage equality bill, which could become law without his signature if he takes no action.
Gay and lesbian couples may not be able to marry in Maine anytime soon, however. The law would normally go into effect 90 days after the legislature adjourns, which is usually in late June. But just as they did in California, opponents have vowed to pursue what's called a people's veto in Maine, a public referendum to overturn the law. They would need to collect about 55,000 signatures within 90 days after the legislature adjourns to get the question on the ballot. If that happens, the law would be suspended until a referendum could be held. That would be in November at the earliest, and more likely in June 2010.
A move is also underway in Washington to overturn a measure to expand the state's existing domestic partners law. The bill giving same-gender couples virtually all the other rights of marriage but the name passed the state legislature in April. Democratic Governor Christine Gregoire's signature is expected sometime soon. According to the Seattle Times, Referendum 71 was filed by the Washington Values Alliance. Supporters need to gather more than 120,000 valid voter signatures by July 25th to put the issue on the ballot. The filing of the referendum delays implementation of the law until the signatures are counted. If the referendum qualifies for the ballot, the fate of the law will be decided by the voters in November.
Washington, D.C. Mayor Adrian Fenty signed a bill this week to recognize same-gender civil marriages performed legally in other jurisdictions. The bill, which was approved 12-1 in a final vote by the City Council, now moves to the U.S. Congress, which, under Home Rule, has oversight on all D.C. legislation. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said this week, however, that Congress would not block the bill's passage. But a coalition of conservative African-American preachers that has vocally opposed the marriage recognition bill vowed to mount an initiative campaign to overturn it. The single dissenting vote on the city council came from former Mayor Marion Barry, who has apparently found religion since his 1990 arrest by the FBI after a hidden camera showed him smoking crack cocaine in a district hotel room with a woman who was not his wife. As mayor, he had generally supported LGBT rights issues. Particularly disappointed in Barry's vote was his longtime friend David Catania, one of two openly gay D.C. council members. "I want to do what Marion Barry has done four times," he told a local public radio station. "I want to get married."
And finally, when then-New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani was forced to leave home during a nasty divorce in 2001, his second, he stayed for months with his gay friends Howard Coppell and Mark Sow in the couple's multi-million-dollar Manhattan home. He eventually invited the men to his wedding to Judith Nathan, the other woman who prompted that divorce. He seemed to enjoy appearing in drag and touting his support for LGBT rights. But Giuliani has signaled a possible GOP run for governor and has already voiced opposition to a pending marriage equality bill in the state legislature. So when Coppell and Sal were married this week in Connecticut, their old roommate wasn't there. Coppell told the New York Post that Rudy and Judith were both invited with a beautiful written invitation by mail, but Giuliani had an aide call to say he would not be there. "I danced at his wedding, and it would have been nice if he'd danced at mine," Coppell told the Post, "but he said he understood the politics before pals no-show. If he decides to run for governor, he's a Republican, and he's taking a Republican stand."
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 9th, 2009. Written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Pam Marshall.
And I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm Ray Hill. This is radio station KPFT Houston. We're a listener-sponsored radio station, and we depend on their listeners to make contributions. I've been around here since 1968, and hell, we didn't get a transmitter until 1970. And I went on the air in 1975 with a gay show. In 1980, I started the prison show. Continuous broadcasting on public radio means that I frequently ask folks just like you to make contributions, tax-deductible contributions, to the radio station. And you can do that on this program. Listen for the number and give it a call.
You're listening to KPFT 90.1, Houston.
And specifically to Queer Voices.
Well, and you know, we can always threaten our listeners. If they don't start pledging, then Ray Hill will come down here. and then there goes the show.
Really?
No, we really appreciate all the efforts that...
Your mic isn't working, so...
Oh, my mic isn't working.
No. So we're gonna go ahead into the studio.
Oh, well, thank you very much. This is Jennifer Renee.
And this is Brian Levinka, and we don't hear the phone ringing out there.
That's right. There were some people during that last segment. We had all kinds of people calling in. Where are you out there?
Yes.
Take a few moments. Pick up the phone. Call us at 713-526-5738.
Or 713-526-KPFT. Just spell that out on your phone. Or go online. I mean, if you don't like to call in, it's easy. KPFT.org, and there's a button to donate now.
We will, if you call in, you know, we'll use only your first name. Pardon me, to the gentleman that we used his last name a little while ago. We apologize for that. That was a little bit of an oversight on the part.
That's my partner, so it's okay.
He was upset, and that was a shame, and we are sorry about that.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Maybe it wasn't David.
Well, no, I don't think so. Well, whatever it was.
It can also be that famous person, Anonymous.
Anonymous was wonderful. They're a very large family.
I think they're from New York.
What they do is they put a little green sticker on the pledge, then we know it's Anonymous.
Oh, I see.
That same family. But please, call in. This is your show. This is your community. One of the few totally GLBT programming on KPFT. But not only that, but in the city of Houston, with all the radio going on, we're it, guys.
We understand that
if you want to keep us here, you got to call in and pledge.
We understand the economy is kind of tight, but you know, our goal is $1,000, and you know, there's a city of 4 million people here, so get on the phone and pledge the money.
Absolutely.
Keep us on the air. This is Gay Radio, and your pledge is a vote to keep us on the air.
And it's 713-526-5738.
713-526-KPFT.
Oh, very good. We've got to work on that timing, don't we?
I like to have a dramatic pause every now and then.
Oh, you like the dramatic pause?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
The pause that refreshes. But let's call in and make that pledge. This is your show.
Do we have any recent pledges?
No, we don't. And our total is only about a third of the way to our goal.
Oh, no.
Or maybe even less.
Yes,
so.
I was watching the total as it just came in. Guys, you got to get out there and please pick up the phone and call.
$500. Just pledge that.
Yeah, just do that and get it over with. Somebody's out there.
I'm going to run out to Westheimer and just start getting money.
In the past, we have had people actually just show up at the door and fork over the cash.
We will take cash.
Those were the 80s, I'm sure.
You know, unmarked bills.
I was going to say tens and 20s.
Tens and 20s, unmarked bills. We don't care. If not, we'll send Susie out to the streets to start collecting, which is sort of a segue into our next segment. How about that?
Oh,
is that good?
That's
you like
smooth.
That?
That's smooth.
Speaking of dating.
Wow.
And here we are.
Wow.
Well, we're talking about Susie out on the streets. So.
And then we're going to, she's not on the street, we're going to talk. We're talking about Susie Laux, who's here with us tonight. When we're going to, you may know Susie from other radio.
A plethora of radio.
Yeah, she's been around for...
I've been passed around like a cheap bottle of wine, baby.
Yes.
Susie wakes me up every morning.
I used to.
Oh,
well, that's another story.
Oh,
my God.
But Susie's been around on radio and TV here in Houston for over 20 years, and you can catch her on Fox 26 talking about American Idol.
And that fabulous Adam. Oh,
yes, Fabo. He is our kind of guy. And she's also a blogger with 26.
Mm-hmm.
Will have heard Susie in various names.
I've been Elaine Closure, Susie Carr, Susie Rhodes, Kathy Phillips, EC. Have I missed anything?
That I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. You used a name one night. I was with you in a bar. I don't remember what that was.
Lucky?
Susie, yeah. That was right now. Susie and I, for the disclaimer here, I've known Susie way too long.
Mm-hmm. Did she know you back?
We met about 23 years ago.
Yes, when we were both children.
Before back when...
She remembers the... my brother, who's no longer with me anymore.
Right.
My alter ego.
And is there a story that we can tell our listeners or no?
Let's talk about dating, shall
we? Let's talk about... Well, there's another segue.
That's code for yes, there is a story, but we're going to move on.
Well, what we're going to talk about is internet dating. And this came up in the conversation several weeks ago here on the air, and we were talking about it, and we were just bantering back during our commentary section. And we said, you know, we need to get somebody on here that knows something about internet dating, can talk to us about it. And Susie did a report on another station.
Yeah.
And so we invited her on here. Susie, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. I love KPOT. You know, I've grown up in Houston. I was raised here. I was as a little girl, grew up in the Memorial area.
A wee lass.
No, that's right. When I was young. But here's the deal. This is how I got into the whole story about online dating. It was very intriguing to me. I'm a woman in her 40s, and
I would never have known that.
A day over 29. We grew up together.
I feel really good. I feel really great. And a girlfriend of mine, you know, she invited me to her wedding. I said, "How'd you meet your husband?" She said, "Well, you know, I met him online." They are married to this day, 10 years later, and they have two kids. Another girlfriend of mine got married to a doctor. And they're still married. So she married a doctor. So they said, go online. Maybe you can because I'm not into bars. I don't drink and everything. And I don't go to bars. Well, I've been to a few bars in this area, if you know what I mean, to go dance tonight. Right. But that's another story, too. But here's the deal. So I said, okay, I'll go online. So I went to a couple of dating sites. And how I came up with a story is, well, it's very intriguing. It's very colorful. And I just want to talk about some of the do's and the big do nots to do on online dating. And some of the warning signs of some of the people, the men and women who come on and try to hook up with you. How about, look at your eyebrows. Boy, did your eyebrows just go up.
Well, because hookup is like a big thing in the gay community. I mean, that's...
It is huge. And
when you say dating, it's not dating. It's
hooking up. It is booty call. And here, and this is what I've realized. I thought, I'm going to be like that eHarmony commercial on TV.
Oh my God.
Where they're like, I met him or her.
The 19 dimensions of compatibility.
Whatever. Oh, that's a bunch of crap. Okay. But it can't be. You know, actually, I've met someone who's really nice. He just kind of forgot to tell me he was still married. But that's
With children yet.
This is something I noticed that about 95% of the guys that I've met online have not really wanted to get into any kind of, hey, I'd like to meet you. I'll come meet you at a restaurant. Let's have dinner and get to know each other. It is like, here's my webcam, and let's chat that way.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we're involved in is when you do this, is finding out whether they're married. Because it's...
Lies and deception.
They lie. Deception, absolutely.
Well, it lacks to me. You know, I really want to have a nice, committed, maybe intimate relationship. It lacks the intimacy that I'm looking for. But now I just have a whole... Guys will send you pictures of anything. one down here.
Have you seen some of these pictures, Brian?
I have a long history of dating, and I have a partner now, but I did go through the internet dating back in the early 90s, mid-90s.
They had computers back then.
They did. They just got pictures.
Back in the 90s, that's when online dating was just getting started. And I'd say in the past 5 or 6 years, it's really, really taken off. And I've done several. And I said, okay, if I'm going to do the research, I'm an older woman, and I happen to like younger guys. And I said,
Cougar.
I'm a cougar. I am a cougar, and I date a lot of guys who are much younger than I am. And there are websites for that called cougared.com. Don't you look at me that way. I had a research.
I said, go for it.
Research.
Are you kidding? I'm going for it. Absolutely.
There's a website, Date a Cougar.
I like younger girls.
Well, let me tell you, some girls hit on me, honey. I'm telling you. And there's tagged.com, which is like a MySpace for a little bit more booty call. It's a little bit more sinister. Yeah. And there are a lot of gay online dating websites, and we have a few. Match.com actually has
a gay. I tried that out in my little single.
Did you?
Phase, yeah. Wait, how was that?
I went on one date and I was just totally not matched at all. And I was,
really?
You know, yeah, I was just. You know, a lot, there's a lot of filtering and kind of getting through the layers of the onion.
Well, I want to talk about that and some of the signs, some of the red flags to watch out for. There's also gay.com, gaydating.com, eHarmony, actually,
they
has a now a gay there was, part of their personal.
There was like a protest or like a lawsuit to
make
them.
There was a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Lawsuit.
Because, you know,
them.
Originally it was the Christian guy who was like, you know, bringing
the
man
bringing
and the woman.
Bringing the man and the woman to
Adam
only
and Eve.
Be together.
Yeah, yeah.
Honey, if I think a man or woman, and you know, let a couple of guys get married and be as miserable as I am. I mean, come on, I can care less. I mean, come on, people, let's all have a good time. Gayfriendfinder.com, and I have another one too, outpersonals.com, and requestadate.com.
Those are the tame
ones.
Okay, there's some really wild ones. I like this one, dudesnude.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dwayne,
did you go to that one? Okay,
anyway,
look on her face says she did. Okay.
Manhunt.net, and there's also gcruise.com, too. And an adult friend finder as well for all those CD evening, you know, nights at home. With
those little pop-up boxes that come up and like, ooh, I'm in town.
There's something that pops up. That's all I got to say, especially
yes.
on some of those cams. But here are some of the deals. You got to watch out for the scammers. You got to watch out for the guys who post or the girls who post pictures that look really airbrushed.
They're like to be true.
Stocked photos. A lot of, you know, those are the ones you got to watch out for. I met three or four fellows who happened to be contractors in West Africa, and they had lost their wife to childbirth, blah, blah, blah. It was like, and they came up with these names that were totally, like, so American. Frank Smith, Bill Jones, I'm Mark Nelson. And then I said, okay, I got to hear what the, let me get your number. So I gave out my cell phone to a couple of these guys, and they would call and go, hello, you still see? And I was like, oh, my God, this cannot be a man. And you're wondering, and I was so amused, and that's when I wanted to do the story about some of the scammers, because they'll try to get your information, they'll try to get your, you know, your address or your where you live. Don't give that out mm-hmm. at all. So,
well, we're living in the day of Facebook, and now your phone has a GPS tracker, so we're kind of getting into the Big Brother age where everyone knows where everyone is at every single moment.
You know, I use Facebook for basically networking, not so much dating. You know,
yeah.
I keep up with my high school friends and my college friends, and I wish they would go away, some of those high school
friends. So many people from high school have found me, and I'm like, you know, I don't care at this point.
Right.
It's been 20 years, but man, like, the whole high school knows now. Yeah. So,
but you know,
the only high school friends that talk to me, they want to talk about when I played football with them. You know, it's just,
I'm sorry.
It just doesn't feel right anymore.
Let me tell you about my.
But I did give a new whole distinction of tailback.
I was going to say you still have the shoulders for it, honey. I tell you what,
Shoulders to cry on, girls.
I'm telling you, but you know, these are some of the things. Don't give out your information to some of these people. You know, there's so many warning signs, and you know, I did meet someone online, and.
Where do you meet them? Do you go to a public place or?
Well, that's another thing. You know, if you do meet in a public place, maybe for cocktails or coffee, tell your friends where you're going. I'm gonna meet this guy or girl, and you know, and if it's really bad, here's a trick to get out of a date. If you meet him or her, and they don't look like their picture, and they're like fat and balder than their picture that looked like, you know. Brad Pitt.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But when it's there's a lot
there's
of deception.
There's so much deception
out
there. Yeah, when it's complete deception on their part. Okay.
Right. You know, and I will excuse myself to the ladies' room and go to the restroom and say, call a girlfriend, say, call me in 5 minutes and pretend like it's an emergency. It's a great Sex in the City.
It is. That's totally cute.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
And I go back to the table and I'm like, you know, uncomfortable on my phone. I'm like, hey, hold on. Yes? Oh, no. Really? Oh, my God. Okay, I'll be there in a minute. I'm sorry, I got to run.
That's funny.
And there's another way of getting out of a date, too. When you see that person at the bar or wherever, and they kind of are like, you pose as maybe Susie's cousin and say, she couldn't make it tonight.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know, just in case he hasn't seen my picture.
Well, what happens when they're sitting with you and they get the emergency phone call?
Oh, no.
I've never had that happen.
She would never have that happen.
I don't think so.
I mean, if they're going to lie about their picture, like show up and they're different than their picture, then what else are they going to lie about?
A lot of guys will show pictures of them 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, seriously, that's a dead giveaway, especially with, like, you know, the big wide ties and the porn star mustaches, you know, that look. I'm like, that looks awfully seven, unless he was at a costume party. But, you know, you just have to be really, really careful. I did meet someone online, as a matter of fact, and this is how Jennifer and I started talking, because he kind of broke my heart. And I met him through another guy online. I was on Tagged, which is a lot of fun. I've actually met a lot of really nice people, girls and boys, on Tagged. And this guy, he's a diver. His name is John, and he's diving off the coast of Africa, believe it or not. So I thought, oh, Africa, great.
Africa again.
He probably needs a kidney transplant. He needs $20 million or something. But no, he actually is Australian, and he's a really decent guy. And we started talking online and IMing each other and really getting to know each other, you know, not that way. Don't you look at me. Don't you roll your eyes. Good-looking Australian, too, honey. Oh.
Is he a cougar chaser?
Yes, as a matter of fact, he is. He's 28.
Oh.
And I'm 40-something. So we started getting along great, and we would talk all the time. And while he was in saturation, you know, because when they dive, they have to get out of saturation.
Oh, right.
And he was, one of his friends, Jason, who I met, I'll tell you about, came online with us for some, he goes, wait, my good friend Jason is IMing me, and I'll show him your picture. And he said, oh, great. I said, what? Jason wants to meet you. And I said, well, where's Jason? He goes, well, he's in Houston. And I said, and you're off the coast of Africa. So Jason called me, and we ended up meeting, and hit it off great. And I said, have you been in a long-term relationship? He's like, no, maybe about a year or so, 4 months here. And, you know, I fell in love with a girl, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, great. And so we started getting along. Well, we spent the next 4 days together.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Nothing happened, Dad. No, honestly, nothing happened.
Four days.
He wanted to wait until he got home. He was going off on a big diving thing for a month. And I said, okay, I guess we have a little kissy face.
Yeah.
And I started really caring for I really liked this guy. I really put my heart into it.
Yeah.
And he would write me these love letters from, you know, his... Don't you roll your eyes either.
Oh, my God. Love letters after
love
4 days?
Love letters after 4 days. Yeah, he goes, even though we've only known each other a few... And I was like, oh, he's
like
so
an
sweet.
Eternity.
Blah, blah, blah. Cute. He's 28. He's young.
Yeah,
stupid.
Yeah.
I love him, though. Okay.
Romantic. Of course.
Out of
that age you are.
And he called me from the rig. Oh. And this is like... 3 weeks into our, you know, our big
romance.
Well, we had already met, okay, and we spent time here in Houston. And he said, I got to tell you about something. I was like, well, oh, I said, what?
Oops.
He goes,
other shoe drops.
I said, well, what? Are you all right? And he said, I have two daughters.
That's not, I mean, well, he's kind of young.
But wait.
Uh-oh.
It's not true.
But
yet.
Wait, there's more.
More.
Now how much?
Let's hear the rest of the story.
That's right. Now what would you do if you had the chance? And then he said, and I got an email. I said, well, there has to be a woman that goes along with these children.
Yes. He found them in Africa.
Possibly. Maybe she was, maybe she's not around anymore. Maybe she died. Maybe she's the one who died in that horrible cliff accident he told me about.
But apparently not.
Apparently not. He's not divorced.
So he's scamming around online, hooking up.
He never actually went online.
Oh, okay. This is your friend.
This is the friend of the guy who I met online. Isn't this weird? It's like a big triangle. It's a big menage.
Yeah.
So I just said, I called him a couple of names, and I said, you're very deceptive, and he apologized, and... And, you know, he still wants to be my friend.
But
today, I just talked to him, I mean, seriously, 2 hours ago.
But
it's
been
going on for a month.
What could you have done, though, to... Because, you know, this is going to happen to a lot of people. You know, there's going to be some... What could you have done?
Well, I trusted that he was telling me the truth when I asked him, Have you ever been married? Have you been in a long-term relationship? I mean, you know, tell me about your high school and blah, blah, blah. He fought in Iraq, too, okay? Special forces. That should have told me right there. And then he was a cop in Dallas.
He sounds pretty tasty.
He's hot.
You want to meet him?
He is.
Is that it?
Let me see.
You
is,
have a partner.
He is absolutely. He's adorable. He is in. And I talked to him a couple hours ago. We're now very good friends. Things obviously aren't working out with the wife, but I'm taking resumes.
There you go.
In response
to your thing,
yes.
I can look at the menu as long as I eat at home.
Okay.
Ooh,
That's absolutely. I'm not going to follow up that. I want to talk to Susie about. All right, so
do you have any questions about what else?
Yeah, well, the thing is that I don't. I've never tried internet dating. I've never tried any of those.
You should try it just for fun. It's going to. Then you'll be as addicted to it as I am.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Oh.
Like I said, I'm going to put together a book.
I'm sorry.
Of all the pictures, you know, I asked some gentlemen just for fun because I'm so Samantha of Sex and the City. I really am.
You are.
I am such a kitten. And I always go, oh, honey, why did you just send a picture of what you have there? And they're like, okay. And they said, so I put together, and I'm going to do a book, and it's going to rhyme with socks, shots.
That's okay. Going to be a bestseller, I can tell you right now.
Oh, yeah. And all shapes and sizes, and it's and I'm like, these guys are willing to do some things that should not come out.
Let me ask you this. How are you luring these guys to give you pictures? Do you have pictures of your own?
I do, but you know what? They're cute and sexy pictures, but I don't, no nudity or anything online. Unless they ask now, you know, okay.
And then you have those extra pictures.
I do. I have some kind of standbys, and if I trust that they're, you know, not with my head.
Trust
that they're not going to be passing.
On the internet. You're going to send something on the internet.
Yeah.
Without my head.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
So I'm a headless torso.
Headless torso. Well, again, we've got these.
We have a signal coming in from
somebody wants
from
to
from
say
afar.
Someone's pitching?
Yes, you got it.
All right.
Have we had any updates on pledges? Anybody call in recently?
I don't think so.
Well, it's been awfully quiet out there.
What are we going to do about that, listeners?
Listeners, please call.
We're giving you valuable information about internet dating that you could take and apply.
And cougars.
That's probably what they're doing right now.
Well, they're on
They probably are online. And while they're online, why don't they, you know, go KPFT? Over to KPFT.com
.org,
excuse me.
You know, you can click a new tab and then go over there. You already have your manhunt up. Just go.
You already have your webcam going, honey. Just say, excuse me, I'm going to give money here first.
That's right.
Instead of sending it to South Africa.
for that Nigeria. Kidney transplant. Yes,
oh,
absolutely.
God.
We don't want that. Send your money over here. That $20 million that you were going to send.
Do we still have 20, operators 000. Live outside?
Yes, we do.
Well, then we need to get them out there working and answering
phones. We're not sure how live they are now because the phones haven't been ringing.
Well, we need to get these phones ringing. 713-526-5738.
Don't they want to say hello to me?
713-526-KPFT. And if you want to talk to Susie and get some advice, please call in. Ask them for her. She'll be glad to come out and talk with you personally.
And she can tell us more about
you. You're going to ask me out on a date.
She had only known that you were going to say that before she came here tonight, she would have not shown up.
I would have dressed up.
She would have.
I'm in my Be Dangerous. You know, I take that pole dancing class.
Oh, yes, I know. That, which is a whole different story you can tell
us
about.
You're
going to
be a cougar all the way, right?
Absolutely.
I have a pole in my living room. His name is Jason.
All the young cougar chasers' ears just perked up.
And all of you out there who happen to be watching the Animal Planet, please contact us over here at kpft.org. Call in at 713-526-5738 or
713-526-KPFT.
And ask for the cougar.
If our wonderful programming isn't enough to motivate you to pledge, Jack has something else.
Yeah, Jack. Well, you know, KPFT is actually two stations in one now, because on our HD second channel, we run other things, including the BBC and some of the other shows that are available on Pacifica. So, and you know, there's no commercials on KPFT. We don't take any corporate sponsorships. KPFT exists only because you're out there and you care about us. Less than 10% of our listeners actually do give. You know, KPFT is about to celebrate its 39th anniversary, which is pretty incredible. You know, listener sponsorship was sort of invented by Pacifica Radio in the Berkeley station. It was the first experiment ever to do something like this. And we've been on the air, you know, Pacifica in general has been on the air 50 years, but here in Houston, we've been on the air for 39 years. Nobody ever thought it would last this long, but because of you all, we're still here. But to continue to be here, to continue invest in this, continue and invest in keeping our station on the air. You know, we have a better transmitter. We got our signal powers are up to 100,000 watts.
That's a major power.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
This baby has 100,000 watts.
Yes, it does.
No,
it's full legal power. Yeah,
way.
You can hear like in Conroe and like far, far away. Long way away.
I think I have an online buddy up in Humble.
There you go.
His name is Rance's.
You have lots of little tucked away little goodies, don't you?
He's muy, muy
waffle. Has anybody called in to talk to the cougar yet?
Stop it. There is a show on TV Land called The Cougar.
Yes.
And it is a dating show.
I saw
and
that.
She is 40 and she's gorgeous and she's dating really cute guys.
I think I'm all about
they're
you
all
know,
in their 20s,
you know,
honey.
Guys in their 20s are in their peak. Women in their 40s are kind of in their
it's
peak.
Perfect.
So, you know, just get it together and go.
Oh, absolutely. Honey, we just tear it up. And I tell you what, I have one of my great friends, D. Wang. Girl, he loves watching it. It's just because he wants to look at those cute boys.
I do too, man.
I'm telling you.
Give us a call, 713-526-5732.
She's on business.
Yeah, whatever. Boring. I love you, Jennifer.
Oh,
well, to get to some of the serious parts here, you know, it costs $32,000 per year just for our tower rental.
Wait,
I hear a phone.
One phone,
right? All right. Thank you so much.
We love you.
We love you.
So that's a lot of money. It's this station does cost money to keep. Now, certainly not for us because we're all here as volunteers.
I get a paycheck. No, I'm just kidding.
Not from here.
Not from here. I get it from the oil and gas company. Not from the radio station.
So we're asking you to call in 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. KPFT is a very different radio station. We're a radio station that responds to our community. You know, we actually have a news department. Most of the commercial radio stations have closed down their news department. KPFT does in some incredible things between the music, the local music that we play, the local news that we do, the call-in shows where you can give your opinions. You know, some of the best environmental programming is done here on KPFT. Just an incredible amount of variety. We basically have everything that you would probably be interested in. Plus, we run the BBC. We run Democracy Now!, which is probably one of the best programs on radio. So we're asking you to be part of this, part of our community, part of our family. Call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
Well, one of the things to remember about KPFT is it's one of the unique voices in our city that covers a wide variety of programming that you won't get anywhere else. And in that 39 years, we've been bombed a couple of times by certain groups that don't like what we say.
Shot at.
We've been shot at. We've been, you know, but we're still here. We're still here speaking the truth and speaking it to people who don't want to listen sometimes. Or, you know, one thing about it, if they're coming over to bomb us or shoot at us, at least they're listening.
Honey, you're definitely.
What we say, but they're listening.
When they do that, that puts you in the news. And so, you know, just safe bombing, but it just the news cameras, the TV people come out, and it's great. It comes on print, and Houston Chronicle covers it. There you go, 90.1.
Yeah, we're not promoting this?
No.
All of you.
Please, not
please
at all.
Do
passive. Passive.
Passive. Just passive protest.
Passive resistance. You know, write us an email if you don't like us,
yes.
but please tune in.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know,
brings us a lot of attention.
This is a radio station of peace.
Peace.
Love.
Of course.
And
dating.
That's right.
And you, queer voices.
That's right. And you can call us at 713-526-5738 and please pledge and keep us on the air. And speaking of dating, at this time, if you call in, we've got just about everybody covered in this.
We do have like the wide gambit of.
Yes, we have, you know, gay,
lesbian,
trans,
straight,
and cougar.
And wait,
straight
you
cougar.
Said that you like girls sometimes? Do you?
No, I would say I'm strictly, well, straight. I almost.
Anyway, back to internet dating.
Anyway, no, I'm actually straight, but I'm family friendly. I have a lot of gay and lesbian friends. You know, my attorney's fabulous.
And trans friends.
Trans friends. You know, I am family friendly, and you know, I'm all good, man. I was an artist, for goodness sake.
Oh, well,
you know, Bachelor of Fine Arts. I was a theater major. And
theater major. Yeah.
Fabulous. Fell in love with a guy named Jay Fraley. Jay just wanted to sew my costumes. That was about it. And wear my shoes.
And wear your shoes, I was going to say.
He had great makeup tips. But, you know, I grew up in the arts, and I have, you know, I'm just a kind and loving person. But, no, I love the mans. I just love the mans.
Me, too.
I know you do, honey.
I do.
Oh, girl.
Now, we talked about some of the stuff to watch out for, but what can we expect when we go online?
Tell us some of the happy
good
stories.
We want to know the good stuff.
I have a lot of good stories. I've met a lot of really great people. You know, I'm going to go. I want to go to Greece. My big 5-0 is coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, I would never have.
Thank
never.
You.
Oh,
yes. Don't I feel fabulous? Mm-hmm. And so I want to go to Greece with my fabulous friend Phil. You know, Philomena, and we want to go to Santorini.
Oh my God.
We want to go to Santorini. So what I did, I went on Tagged, and I've gotten to know the Greek men are not only gorgeous.
They're hairy, too.
No, which honey. They all wax. But you know, not that I know that. Check out the Greek men. Oh, my God.
What website do you go to?
I actually go to Tagged, and I've gotten to know about... I have 40 new Greek boyfriends. From Thanos to Demiris to Vasilis. I have, like, 4 Vasilises. I have Thanos, and they're all so sweet and nice, and they go, I want you to come here, and I will make the bed with you. that's another way of saying it. But then they're the ones who tell me where to go, you know, not to tell me where to go, but they're like, you need to go here, you need to go here, maybe we can meet in Athens and I'll take you out for a drink or whatever. And I'm like, and you know what I love about it, I'm getting to know a lot of people all over the world, and from Australia to Italy to France, and there are gentlemen, there are nice people out there, there you know, a couple of, you know, married family men who just want to, you know, meet people. And this woman from New Orleans, she goes, hi, I'm Helen, and I notice you like younger men too. Let's chat. And she's really cool. So
I have little cougar tips.
We have cougar tips, and we share our men.
Oh my gosh.
She says, oh, I like your friends. Tagged is just like MySpace. It's set up the same way. You can put your music on there, you can put your favorite videos, and they have widgets.
Is it more straight? Because I don't really.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't use it, and I haven't really heard about it.
Well, I didn't know about it until a friend of mine sent me an email saying, hey, join Tagged. I was like, oh, you know, and there's some unsavory people. Always, and you just go, reject, 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 you know, when they want to be your friend. I'm like, no, only cute, only cute.
Right.
So I have quite a stable of really cute people on my, I have like 400 friends or something silly like that.
A stable of stallions.
Yes, I do. And, you know, but like I said, I can go through, like, there's gay.com, there's eHarmony, which has, you know, the gay website.
Well, I think the new one for gays is chemistry.com, and they have kind of more of the gay kind of matching.
Okay.
So that's
the gay lesbian. From eHarmony?
It's similar to eHarmony, but it's chemistry.com, and they promote to gays.
Well, a girlfriend, this is funny.
I think I saw an ad for that.
I was on Match.com, and I met this one guy. His name is Alan, and we went out for a while, and he was really, really sweet. And I was showing, I was at Dwayne, and Christy was over, and they're my gay friends, gay lesbian friends. And I said, you got to see this guy I was going out with. So Dwayne was like, ooh. And so Christy went, let's check out the women looking for women. I went, okay. So we signed on, Women Seeking Women. She said, oh, my God, I went out with her. She started recognizing all the lesbians out in the community. She goes, oh, no one wants to date her. I mean, it was funny. Or, oh, look, oh, she's like, oh, she's cute. So my girlfriend started going online, too, to find the woman of her dreams.
So you're just a one-woman internet force, just bringing them to the internet.
Well, you know, and I've actually gotten a lot of friends of mine to, you know, I teach them about safe internet dating, you know, and would you find out, in doing a background check, if you get the full name, maybe after a couple of days.
If they've given you the full name, if it's the real name.
Right. A background check only costs like about $29 for a real thorough one.
And like, what sort of information can you get?
You can get, like, where they're born, where they work, if they have any, like, felonies, if they've been to prison.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if they are married, if they have children, yeah. You can find out a lot of stuff. It's like, you know, if you had a daughter or a son, and they were, wouldn't you want to find out about the person they were dating? So you got to realize
absolutely.
That. And always tell your friends where you're going. Like, if I'm going to meet up with someone, I always say, hey, you know, I'll call Jennifer and say I'm meeting this guy at such and such, and you know, I will call you and let you know how it goes, so she knows I got home okay. You know, and that's okay.
And see, in the gay world, all the quote-unquote, air-quote, dating happens in the middle of the night and kind of, you know, after hours.
Booty call,
yeah. That's the dating.
Well, a lot of it's happening in the straight world, too, honey. I mean, I'd say about 90% of the men who I've met online have been basically, hey, you're good-looking. I sure would like to beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep you, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah, but you know, also in the gay world, there's a lot of people looking for relationships. And
yes,
you know,
there is that. We talked about that, and I'm meeting some really nice guys who I would love to go out with, who are actually ready for a relationship or dating.
Is there any trick to finding them? Is it, or you just have to weed through
you
all of it?
You have to cast that net out and just ask questions.
Kiss a lot of frogs.
Kiss a lot of frogs. Be careful
to
when
find
you
find your princess.
And when you give out your IM too, you know, be careful with that, because some of them will just abuse it, honey. They're like, hi, what are you doing? Hello, hello. Yeah. And like in the middle of the night, I'll get, you know, not that I'm on the
so
computer.
So what are you doing now?
Are you here? I'm you know, it's usually in the middle of the night, like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Now, what are they doing?
They're coming home from the bar.
Yes, they're loaded, honey, and they want to get some kind of camera action. They want to get some kind of webcam action. And I'm usually asleep at that point because, you know, I'm not a big party or anything. I'll get on my computer in the morning with my cup of coffee, and I'll get some of these real, you know, sexy little drunk. It's like drunk dialing. It's drunk online.
Now it comes
IMing.
With pictures.
Oh, drunk IM. Oh, my God.
Like I said, I'm going to compile a book.
You need
and
to have
it's
like
going to be with all shapes and sizes, honey.
Oh, you need to have the video versions,
too. And it's going
to
be a big hit over here. Is the logo still open?
No.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh.
That's kind of an old thing. But.
Well, where have I been?
Yeah.
Well, you've been somewhere else.
There's that little place where they serve brownies over here, you know, right behind what is it called? Hollywood. It's like a video store slash.
Yeah, Hollywood. There's like a cafe, and then there's a bookstore. Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
Oh, is that still open?
That'd be a great place.
Are we
going to
go there and have a brownie and go look at videos later?
Why not?
My friend Dwayne took me there one night. It was pretty.
There's
funny.
Like a little back room. And
yes, there is.
Yes.
Ooh, I love it. Seedy.
Well,
What's that club over there? You know, right
South
behind
Beach.
It? Thank you.
South Beach. That's it. Hey, have we had anybody call in? Oh, did I wake you up?
Hello.
He's out there answering the phone.
Did I wake you up?
Is this thing on?
Have we gotten any calls come in?
The phone rang, but I don't think we have anybody who actually called up and pledged.
Oh,
we need you to do that.
You
now
can call in and talk.
Yes, it's our last 10 minutes before we go, and before the next show is here on KPFT. So we're asking you to support us. Support what KPFT does. Support local radio. Support the community radio, the community media. You know, one of the few things that this community actually has. We don't have a weekly newspaper anymore. We don't have a TV show. So queer radio is pretty much the only thing here on KPFT that you can access and know what's going on with the community. We're moving out from the Montrose, and to be connected to what goes on in the community, it's Queer Voices. And you can listen to us live. You can listen to us on iTunes. You can go to the KPFT archives and download the show. So we want to have you support us, and you can do that by calling us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
And if you're listening on iTunes, and this is sometime after the show has aired live, you can call next week, or you can go to the website and go to kpft.org and donate there. But call us next week. We'll be on again doing the pledge drive a week from now, Monday the 18th.
Also, we're on Facebook here at Queer Voices, and you can go there and be one of our friends. And then you get all the updates.
We send out the updates every week, and you kind of find out what's going on that night. And you can be part of our vast members and friends on Facebook.
And if you're on Twitter, you'll get an update of the music and who we've just played. So
you guys are everywhere.
We're trying to be the technological.
Are you in LinkedIn?
No, we're not on LinkedIn.
Oh.
But please follow us on Twitter because we have live updates on the show. And just go to twitter.com/queervoices and click on the button that says follow us. And I think we have, you know, a few followers, but we'd like to get that up to about 100. So kpft.org or 713-526-5738.
And take a few moments. You're listening. Just it won't take any time at all. 5 minutes of your time. Call. Make your pledge. It's for a good cause. It's for our show. It's for KPFT. And it's important. It's you reaching out and saying you appreciate our program and gay radio. It's the only place you can find it on radio here in Houston, Texas, is here at KPFT. So it's 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
And we're not asking for a lot of money. I mean, $20, $30, $40, $50, you know, something that you might spend on dinner. Invest that in the radio and in entertainment and get much more than just a meal out of it. 713-526-KPFT.
All right, and we got a note that came in. Very interesting. There was a question.
It says, caller. Caller colon. Are there any places, don't you look at me that way, are there any places to go in the Montrose area? Websites, maybe friendship, relationships for older persons. Not a club thing. There are lots of them.
Well, actually, there's a program.
Ryan, you can answer that one.
There's actually a program with the Montrose Counseling Center called SPRY. And that's Seniors Progressing Through the Rainbow Years.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, that's
and it's,
great.
And it's a program designated towards, you know, older.
Is it spry.com?
Well, go to MontroseCounselingCenter.org, and then there's a link to SPRY.
The link to SPRY.
And it's kind of a social thing, but it's also kind of to help you.
It's like a great way to network,
especially
if you're not into the, you know, the South Beach scene or, you know, going out to clubs all night long.
And clubs are kind of becoming past that, even with the quote-unquote.
Even JRs?
Well, I mean, there'll always be a crowd at JRs, but I mean,
yeah.
The younger generation just isn't doing this, and so eventually it's going to kind of phase out.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So it's important that, you know, groups like that, that Montrose Counseling Center puts on, the SPRY people, you know, it gives the older GLBT people a place to go and to meet one another outside of that environment.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, someone in your 40s or 50s that are not inclined to hang out at the clubs anymore, it's a place to really meet nice people.
I would never call someone in their 40s or 50s old.
Don't you dare.
No.
Uh-uh, honey.
We're talking 60s, 70s.
Excuse me.
But
sorry.
I think it's great that we live in a community. No. It's great that we live in a community where there are older people that are not wanting to go out, and there's an outlet for them or somewhere to go.
I thought it said older. Or did I say old? If
well,
I said
seniors,
old, I didn't mean that.
Older.
Well, the ones who don't go out and, you know, like I said, and go dance and snowboard and jump out of airplanes. Well, wait a minute. I do that. What am I saying?
I know plenty of 40 and 50-year-olds that go
served.
Out.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you bet.
They're still going
well,
out.
Well, and that's something to remember.
And there's some people who don't drink.
Yeah. Well, and as we GLBT people and anyone, we age, our interests change, but that doesn't mean we're dead. We're all like to do stuff. I love to do, you know, I'm doing more unusual things with my life and adventure like you're talking about than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you start looking at life and you say, it's time to go this.
I have a huge bucket list. And, I started surfing. I said, I'm going to learn how to surf, and I learned how to surf and jump out of an airplane, and I did that. I learned how to ride a motorcycle. I took a rider's edge course, which was really cool.
That's where you find all those young guys.
Oh, right? No. Some of them don't have teeth. Trust me. Like, wow. But, you know, I really enjoyed riding a motorcycle. It's scary.
Wait a minute. So you say you're a biker chick now?
I've kind of, in a way.
A cougar biker chick.
I always wanted to. And then I said, I'm going to take, I interviewed Sheila Kelly, and she's the one who started S Factor just off the loop in Richmond Avenue. And I learned how to, I have a pole in my living room now. Believe it or not. Don't you? He's looking at me now. He's
pole
looking at
dancing.
Me totally. I've actually, it is good for the body. And
it definitely
good
is good for the body.
I'm in great shape.
It's like
I'm
belly
you are
dancing
in great shape.
Right?
She is definitely
I
in great
muscles,
shape, guys.
You do.
Those of you who want a cougar, you need to call.
You need to call. Call a cougar now.
713-526-KPFT.
Offer is
and,
a
but you
by.
Have to donate first.
Please give me. I'll take you. No, I'm not even going to go there.
Be specific about the donation.
we want to be on air next week.
Yes, we do. That's what I love about this station. You know, it's just like, whatever.
They're telling
piano.
Us we got to go, guys.
Oh, that's so much fun.
The big hook.
Yeah. Please call, donate, and when you do, call, tell them it's for Queer Voices. It's 713-526-5738.
Or get out that MasterCard or that Visa and go to kpft.org and put it on your card and earn some miles. While you're
IPT.
Is it tax EPFT. Deductible?
This is EPT. Tax deductible, yes.
And who are we going to have? We want to thank the people that came here. We thank Susie. Thank you for coming
You're
in.
You're welcome. I had so much fun.
Yes, and we would like to thank the young members of our community that came. And let me see if I can find their names.
And what was Colt Meyer?
Colt Meyer, yes.
And you're hunting for the paperwork, aren't you?
I am.
Susie, you're going to mention how much fun you had on our show when you do your thing tomorrow morning, right?
Well, you know, on Fox 26, I might have to, but I'm not going to be on tomorrow, but I am going to be blogging, so I might mention it.
Yeah, please do.
Yes, I'd love to on my Fox 26. It's a blog site.
Thank you to Melanie Payne, Ambalinka Williams, Stacey Colt Meyer, who came on and talked about kind of their view of the future of the community.
Absolutely. And do you know who's going to be on next week?
We have Brian Riedel. It's going to come on. He's talking about the digitization project and kind of the history of the Montrose community.
And we're going to talk about bullying in high school.
Yes, a friend of mine from high school, who's now a high school counselor, is going to come on and dish about my days in high school and about what the climate is in high school these days.
Oh. Wow, it's getting rough.
Well, everybody, this is Queer Voices. I'm Jennifer Renee.
And this is Brian Levinka.
And Glenn Holt.
Thank you.
Have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Walensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Walensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Think about why you listen to KPFT and the stories you've heard. You listen because you hear stories you don't hear, can't hear anywhere else. It's as simple as that. There's no other news source that's even structured or set up quite like public radio. You certainly won't find it on TV or commercial radio. And it's not just an hour a week or once or twice a day. It's every day. There are some who have their radio on all day, some who listen in the morning, or some only in the car. Suddenly, your membership must sound like quite a deal when you look at what you get. In fact, you might even be thinking that you haven't been giving enough and it's time to increase your gift. But the important thing is to give. Call 713-526-KPFT or join online at kpft.org. This is KPFT, Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT, Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.